You're listening to a message from Pastor Jack Holt at The River.
Tonight I want to minister to you on the topic of higher levels of receiving. Now, when I say higher levels of receiving, what I'm talking about is there's low levels of receiving in your faith, and there's high levels. Now, here's the part that's beautiful. Anytime that we need a breakthrough in relationships, many times we can't get that breakthrough without higher levels of receiving. Many times when we need a breakthrough physically, we need higher levels of receiving when it comes to our bodies and our careers. Anytime you get stuck where you can't seem to go to the next level, it usually requires a higher level of receiving to be able to receive it in your life. And what I've discovered this is when you have higher levels of receiving, it always causes the results in your life to last. Say it with me, I want my results to last. You want your marriage to last. You want your kids to last in the faith. You want your finances to last. Come on, you want that to last. When you have these higher levels of receiving, the ability then to last out the storm, continue, is given to you through that. And let's take a look at a verse tonight, I believe, that will actually spell all of this out. We're going to read it. This is in John 5. Now, there is in Jerusalem, the sheep gate, a pool, which is called in Hebrew, Bethesda, having five porches. And in these lay great multitudes of sick, people blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the waters. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lying there, he knew that he already had been in that condition a long time. And he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" And the sick man answered him and said, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, but while I'm coming, another steps down before me." Jesus said unto him, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked, and that day was the Sabbath. Now, I know that most of you are familiar with this story, but do you realize that God put this miracle in the Bible for one reason? To show you that you can get what you want, even when it seems like it's never going to come. Here's a guy, I want you to think about this. He'd been waiting 38 years to receive what he wanted. Imagine how frustrating it would be for him. And it was bad enough that he had not received what he wanted, but he was in a crowd of people who was receiving what he wanted. He saw obviously different miracles that occurred, and it was never him. It was always the guy in front of him. Someone always beat him to the front of the line. And he missed out on all those blessings. So here's a guy, 38 years, and he's not yet received what he wants. Now, I know tonight as I preach to you, many of you would say to yourself, "Pastor, there's a lot of things that I want too." I'm telling you, this miracle was put in the Bible for you. To let you know that even though it's been a long time, even though it seems like it's not going to happen, God is able and willing to give you what you want if you learn from this miracle what you need. "Well, Pastor, I've always wanted this, and I've tried and whatever, and it's failed. I've always wanted a great marriage, and I've filed, and I've tried and I've failed. I've always wanted this, you know, to not just be living from paycheck to paycheck. When is it going to come?" You're going to learn something from this story that I believe will give you a key to it. And I love the story because in the story, Jesus shows up in a place with a guy that for 38 years has not been able to receive what he wanted. Now, I don't know what happens to you if what happens to you happens to me, but I believe there's a similarity here. I know that many times there'll be something that I want in life, and it's put off and put off and put off, and then it seems like somebody who works less on it, less hard than I do, receives it right in front of me. Have you ever had a situation where you grew up and you had a best friend or whatever, and it just seems like everything falls into place in their life, and they're getting this and they're getting that, and then here you're struggling and struggling and struggling and struggling. And if you're not careful, a little jealousy pops up. Am I just preaching to the crowd here tonight? Are you getting this? So I'm telling you tonight that you can have what you want. Now, obviously, if it's not God's will, you can't, but God's will is pretty broad, amen? God has a lot of good things that he wants to give to you in your life. Now, here's what the man was lacking. He wanted something, but just because you want something doesn't mean you can get something. A lot of people want a good marriage, want. They want a better life, want. They don't get it. And let me tell you the key. You can even have faith for something and never get what you want. Because what Jesus teaches this man is how to receive for his faith so that he can get what he wants. There was no doubt he wanted it, but he didn't know how to receive with his faith to get it. And think about this for a moment. His problem was he didn't have high thinking. His thinking was low. He thought the only way that he could get healed is if someone helped him into the pool. He thought the only way that he can get it is if someone else helps him to receive it. And Jesus shows up and tells him that's not true. And my friend, I want you to know that's not true. Here's the revelation that Jesus gave the man. First of all, he said, do you want to be healed? The desire awakened again. Amen. How many know if you don't have something that you want over a period of time, the desire gets less? God awakens it. And then he says this to him, take up your bed and walk. He didn't say, I want someone to help you take up your bed and walk. He said, you can take it up a while. I want you to listen to this. This is very prophetic. If Jesus is with you, you can do all things. If Jesus is with you, you can do all things. I don't care what the neighbors say. I don't care what the friends say. I don't care what culture says. If Jesus is with you, you can do all things that he has offered you in the Word. No doubt about it, you can do it. That's what the man did. Now, here's a truth from this that's, I think is pretty exciting. Because many people go, well, yeah, well, Jesus was there. Listen, the Bible says that he'll never leave you or forsake you, which means he's always with you. He's with you even when you don't feel it. He's with you even when you're not in church. He's with you when you're watching the wrong movie. Come on, say amen. He's with you all the time. That means that you can do whatever he's called you to do. If you got to discipline kids in the right way, you can do it. If you got to reach the next level, you can do it. If you got to stretch your faith farther, you can do it. If you got to soar, you can do it. If you got to be more than you've been, you can do it. If you, come on, you can do it. Say it. Come on, church, help me out. This is good preaching. You can do that if Christ is with you. And that's what he taught the man. And here's the thing. People say, yeah, well, he was healed. He was healed before he stood up and carried his mallet or carried his bed. See, always remember this. Whenever you believe, at the moment that you believe, that's the moment that faith is released in your life. The moment you believe, he had to believe he could before he tried. He had to believe that he could do it before he tried to do it. Do you know what makes the difference between a winner and a loser in a race? What is it that causes a winner to win and a loser to lose? A winner always believes he's going to win before he starts the race. The loser's not sure, and he'll end up losing. Jesus wanted you to know tonight that when you start it, you believe you are a winner because he's inside of you and you can win at whatever you're doing. Whatever you're stretching yourself out, whatever you're reaching yourself out, whatever you are pressing in God for, you can do it, for Christ is with it. But you have to believe in yourself that you can do it because Jesus said you can do it. If you can think you can do it, and if you think it long enough, you'll know you can do it. And once that occurs, there's nothing that can stop you. But you got to think it. Some people think that they're too short, they're too tall, they're too overweight, they're too this, they're not smart. And because of it, the Word of God cannot work in their lives. I want you to know right up front that we live in the last of the last days. Can you say amen? Do you know the last of the last days are the greatest days for the church? They're not the worst days, they're the greatest days. The Bible said that all things are going to be restored towards the end. In other words, you're going to see towards the end, maybe it won't be in our generation, but it's going to happen. That generation is going to win and prevail over evil like no other generation. Say amen. So as we look at this, I want you to evaluate yourself and say, all right, something that I've always wanted, but maybe the reason why you can't get it is because you're expecting someone else to help you get it. You're expecting someone else to carry it for you. You're expecting someone else to build you up. You're expecting some kind of resource to help you. And what Jesus wanted you to know tonight from this miracle is that if he's with you, there's nothing you can't do. Praise God for support. Praise God for people that'll pray. Praise God for churches. But God wanted to know that you can do it because he is with me. Can you say amen? Amen. Now, you in the scriptures, you'll find a verse very familiar. It says this. It says in scriptures oftentimes that Jesus fulfilled things. You find it, it says, in order that it was fulfilled, Isaiah, where it says himself took up our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. And the word fulfilled did use. And the Bible talks about Jesus fulfilling this and fulfilling that. And you say, what is all that about? Well, fulfilled, what it simply means, it's kind of like if you go to the doctor, let's say you're not feeling good, and the doctor orders you a prescription at Safeway or drugstore, and they call up and say, it's fulfilled. Just come up and receive it. Fulfilled simply means that Jesus has gotten ready everything that you need. He's gotten ready your healing. He's gotten ready your provision. He's gotten ready for you everything that you might need for victory in your life. I think it'd be a good time if we praise God right now and thank him for that. I mean, thank you, Lord. Thank you. It's been fulfilled in him. Now, I'm going to show you a moment here. I want you to, we're going to look at a verse and in Proverbs 13:22. It's one I could quote, but I want you to see this verse because this is what I call higher levels of receiving. How many want to step into the higher levels of receiving? Look at this. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. The wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous. Oh, I like that. Do you know what this means? Most people spend their lives meeting their own needs on a daily basis. Lord, I got this bill, I got that. you know, just give me enough for this paycheck, whatever. Give me enough to take care of the immediate needs in their life. This is a higher level. This is what they call generational wealth. You know what generational wealth is? It's when God blesses one family so much that from that point on, all their kids never again have to start at the bottom of the barrel. They start at a place of success without starting at the bottom. That, to me, is the ultimate on this elevated receiving from the Lord. And you know what I like about it? It means that this kind of receiving from God does more than bless you. It blesses others. I'm very blessed, but I love to bless others. And when you raise the bar of your requests with God, and you seek the gold that he offers. In other words, you have a promised land thinking when it comes to receiving. It's not only going to meet your need, it's going to meet other people's needs. And there's not a greater thing in your life than to be a blessing to other people. Can you say amen? Now, all of you know this story, but it shows you how it's easy sometimes to have low-end receiving instead of high-end receiving. And the story is about a king that goes to the prophet who's going to die. And the prophet says, I want you to take an arrow, shoot it in the ground. Every time you do, I'm going to give you victory. And you know the story. It's powerful because the king only shoots three times and stops. Prophet gets angry and says, you should have shot 5-6 times and you would have defeated your enemies. In other words, it was low-end thinking that produced low-end receiving, that produced temporary victory, but not long victory or lasting victory in your life. Now, pastoring, I've seen a lot of this in marriages, where our marriage starts getting in trouble. They start fighting all the time. Every time they talk, it's like circular reasoning. They go over the same argument over and over again. And they start to grow apart, and you know they're in trouble when they ask for counseling. And you sit down with them, and then you say, listen, you guys, you know what the word is. You got to work this out. You need to believe God. And then 9 times out of 10, the wife or the husband will believe, but they'll believe low end. I believe that he will change enough that it's worth staying, but not change enough that I fall in love with him all over again. Or the husband says the same. If he just changes this much, you know, and you see that tit for tat, and it's, see, here's the thing. When you have accelerated receiving from God, and it's high-end receiving, it levels the playing field. And all of a sudden, when you level the playing field, the devil doesn't have an opportunity for you to destroy your level later. But if your faith is low in, you might get temporary relief, but a month later, you're going to have marriage problems again. Or a month later, the kids are going to be acting stupid again. Or a month later, you're going to have the same kind of financial problems that you had before. So what we need to do is say, Lord, I don't want that. I want long and I want high levels of receiving in my life so that the blessings will continue my life. And to give you an example of this, in the Old Testament, there's a story. Most people don't remember it, but it's a story about a man. He is, in fact, Aaron had a son, and Aaron's son had a son, and his name Phinehas, P-H-I-N-A-S. Anyway, this guy is a young kid, and he's in the priesthood. And that was the story when Balak and Balaam were working together, and the prophet Balaam was hired by Balak, a king, a pagan king, to curse Israel. Every time he tries to do it, the blessing goes on. Is it because you can't curse what's not cursed? And finally, Balaam says to Balak, I know how you can curse them. Send in your women, seduce them, and God will put a curse on them. So these women came in, seduced some of the Israelites, and they're fornicating in tents by the tabernacle. And a plague breaks out, and this young boy gets stirred up with zeal. And he runs over and grabs a javelin, big spear, runs into the tent, and drives it through the guy into the girl, pins him to the ground, super movie thing, and it nails him. And as soon as he does, the curse stops, or the plague stops. But what's interesting is God says, okay, that impressed me so much that he puts a blessing on him that goes from one generation to the next generation to the next generation to the next generation. Ooh, glory to God. Something that dad did keeps blessing his children. So when you talk about this high level of receiving, what you're talking about is receiving something in your life that will bless your children's children. Isn't that good news? Amen. It's great news. Amen. And you find that throughout the Word of God, and I love it because whenever there's low in believing, you always have temporary results. And I don't want temporary results. I want fulfilling results in my life. But one of the things that's a key is this. You have to believe you can do it. Believe you receive it before you move on it. It won't work any other way. You remember the story of Jonathan? Jonathan was a very good friend of King David. And Jonathan's, or dad, was King Saul, who in the end tried to kill David. And in the story, Jonathan, who hung around with David, was really a warrior. And he saw this garrison. A garrison is a group of men, and in this group there was 20 of them, that have a fortified area that they're defending. And these were Israel's enemies. So Jonathan talks to his armor bearer and says, listen, I'd like to go up there and defeat them and beat them. I believe I can. I believe we can. Now he asks the armor bearer, because the armor bearer is going to put his life on the line as well. The armor says, if it's in your heart, let's go ahead and do it. And he didn't ask his dad, who was King Saul, because dad would have said, no way, you're crazy. You can't do that. But here's the part of the story that's beautiful. He goes to the garrison, and there's this big hill, and it's steep. And they're all on the top of this hill. They got the upper advantage. And he doesn't know if they should just attack or if they should wait on the bottom for them to come down after him. So he prays and he says, God, if they say come up, we'll go up. If they say we're coming down for you, we'll stay and fight. Now notice he's asking for a sign. He's already believing that he can defeat him, but he needs to be led by the Spirit. Amen. And they said, come on up, of course. And it says they crawled up that hill on their hands and knees, so it's steep. And it says that they fought and killed 20 men within a half an acre. Can you say amen? But notice the victory came because he believed he could. Then the Spirit led him, and don't get caught up in the sign, because as a believer, our sign is being led by the Spirit. We don't need external signs. The Spirit of God will lead us and guide us. In the Old Testament, people did not possess the Spirit like we do. The Holy Spirit will bear witness what to do, but you have to believe you can do it, or you're wasting your time. In other words, if you don't believe you're going to win, don't run. If you don't believe you're going to catch a fish, don't go fishing. Come on. If you don't believe you can do it, don't bother doing it. And then have the Lord guide you and direct you in it. But notice it was a high level of receiving, not a small level. It's almost like David, he took on Goliath, and once he took on Goliath and defeated him, all their soldiers fled, and Israel fled after him. In other words, his one victory gave the rest of his people victory that day. That's why it's so important that we elevate our faith and have high levels of receiving when it comes to God's mercy, his promises, that we press through to that level and receive it. Now, I want to say something to you that I mentioned this Sunday, and it's so important, and that is this. Remember, everything is created twice. It's not once, it's twice. It has to be created within you once before you'll see it outwardly in your life. If you can't create within you through your thinking a belief that you can do it, don't even bother trying. You got to create it on the inside before you can see it on the outside. And some people don't have the patience to do that, but if you want victory in your life, you're going to have to create it on the inside before you can see it on the outside. And this is one of the reasons why relationships fail. Because they say, he needs to do this, this, and this. I can't stand it. They're talking about something outward. You can't, guys, listen to me, you can't change your wife, guys. Wives, you cannot change your husband. It's like standing outside of an airplane thinking you can make the pilot do what he wants to do in that airplane. You're not in the airplane, you're outside. The only one that can change a person is the Holy Spirit who is inside. He's the co-pilot and your husband's the pilot. Come on, the Holy Spirit is your wife's co-pilot, but she is the pilot and they're the only ones that can change it. You can't change a person from the outside. My wife never tried to change me. She just simply prayed for me. And that's the way it works. I mean, one of the most astounding verses I find in the Bible, it's shocking. Abraham, his wife says, I want you to get rid of the bondservant. He has a child. And Abraham, no, I don't want to do that. That's not right. And she must have been praying because the Lord spoke to Abraham and said, obey your wife. Say what? That seems kind of weird to me. But she was right, and the Holy Ghost confirmed it to Abraham, and he changed. Okay, moving right along at a terrible pace here. We're so excited about that. That's just a revelation that everybody loved, and everybody embraced that right now. You can't change your spouse. You can't change people. They change on the inside by the help of the Holy Ghost. All we can do is pray for them. Amen. Amen. You know, it's getting a little bit quiet here. I'm a little concerned that we're going to have a major problem after the church service. Driving home with the car. Did you see what he said? I still think you should just change. Listen, pray for him. Pray for him or pray for her. And just love her wherever she's at right now. And you'd be surprised what the Holy Ghost would do. The quickest way to change your husband is pray for him. Quickest way to change your wife is to pray for her. Amen. Amen. All right. Now, here's what we're getting at. Mental barriers. You all got mental barriers. I got mental barriers. We get them when we grow up. Parents give them to us. People that hurt us give it to us. We get these mental barriers. And a mental barrier is a thought that is in your memory that has some negative feeling associated with it. And what happens many times is we get up in the morning, we don't feel, man, gosh, what it just feels terrible today. And all of a sudden that your mind will start to think about your problems. And you think about this problem and that problem and that problem. And every time you do, that memory produces a negative feeling inside of you until you get more depressed and more depressed and more depressed and more depressed, and you don't believe you can do anything. by the time you get that depressed. That's why the Bible says, put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Now, here's a part you may have never seen. The word garment there is a winter garment for the spirit of heaviness. In other words, you can't put a spring jacket on for a spirit of heaviness. You might be able for something else, or something you're concerned about, but not for a spirit of heaviness. You got to excel in high praise to compensate for what the devil's trying to do with you. Amen? And you don't try not to feel bad. What you do is you replace that negative thought with the positive thought from the Word of God. And you focus in on that thought, you think about that thought, and you picture that thought, and then what happens is it begins to produce fruit. Love is a feeling, joy is a feeling, peace is a feeling, and all of a sudden it's a great day because this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. But you have to do that, or that mental barrier will prevent you from giving your best. In fact, I this is very interesting. I was reading a book, and it was just a book by a doctor. And the whole book was about how the mind can make you healthy or make you unhealthy. And he gave all these statistics, and it was very interesting, about how a negative attitude, they've proven with science that people with a positive attitude live a lot longer than people with a negative attitude. And they proved that a person with a positive attitude is less sick than a person with a negative attitude because it affects their immune system. In other words, the thoughts in your mind affect the chemistry within your body. It either makes the chemistry work better or it makes it worse. And I thought that is so in line with the Word of God. As a man thinketh, so is he in your heart. The Bible said they meditate on the Word of God and it is medicine, it says. It's medicine to you. Why? Those thoughts are thinking on the Word of God and they're creating your body to be more healthy from those thoughts. And so we all have what I call mental barriers that prevent us from being happy, prevent us from the joy of the Lord, prevent us from the breakthrough. And here's the clincher. Many people struggle with this, and they're waiting for things to be better before they feel better. They're waiting for things to be better before they have any faith. And they're waiting and waiting and waiting. Remember what God told Abraham. He said, now lift up your eyes. Now, lift up your eyes now. Now lift up your eyes now, not later. And he says, I want you to see from the place where you are. In other words, I want you to see the blessing. Not after you get there, but right now where you're at. We all want to be in a better place. We all want to be in a better home. We all want to be in a better neighborhood. We all want to have a better job. We all want something better. But the scripture says, see yourself blessed where you are right now. If you can do that, you can break through any stronghold in your life. If you can see yourself blessed when you're living in a one-bedroom apartment, you won't be in that one-bedroom apartment that long. If you can see yourself blessed in the midst of sickness in your home, if you can just see that, you won't stay in sickness that long. If you can just see yourself blessed financially, even when you're working for a job that isn't paying you squat, you won't be in that position that long. So the challenge is, how do we do this? We do this by thoughts that we paint pictures to. I say boat, what kind of boat do you see? I say car, what kind of car do you see? I say young man, what kind of young man do you see, ladies? What do you see? Envisioning is, now hear me when I say this. It is the process in which you go from the consciousness to the subconscious. Or you go what you're conscious of right now mentally to your heart or your spirit where your faith abides. In other words, whatever I picture is programmed in my spirit. And whatever is programmed in my spirit will inevitably control my life. That's why some people do better than others. Some just have terrible programming. We come to church to be reprogrammed. I want to have a promised land program inside of my spirit. I want to have a joy of the Lord program inside of my spirit, because that program will attract and it will reveal opportunities in my life, and God will work through my faith that's in my heart, not just what I'm conscious of, but in my subconscious. I will be working towards whatever the promise may be or the desire I may do in my life. That's why we are to renew our mind by the Word of God every day. Hallelujah. I said renew your mind every day to the Word. It's going to make a difference. It's going to give you the breakthrough, and it's going to bring you through to that place where great success will hit you in a very special way. So when he said, lift up your eyes, what is he saying? When he says, lift up your eyes, he's saying, okay, listen, I want you to have the thought connected with my word, and I want you to have a picture connected with that thought, because that's the doorway into your subconscious or your spirit. Now, from a Bible standpoint, it says the spirit of a man is the candle of the Lord. God searches your spirit. Amen. That's what we want to get down into. Head knowledge will not get you healed. Head knowledge will not get you prosperous. You got to get it from here down into your spirit. And so when we say this, we're talking about something that is very, very important. What can you see? Can you see a better marriage? Can you see a better future? Can you see better outcomes in your life? Can you see better health? If you can't see it, your faith hasn't received it yet. We don't want to live from the flesh. We want to live from the spirit. Carnality can't receive. Spiritually mindedness can. Now, I'm going to show you a very hard verse. This is in 2 Timothy. Put it up on the screen. I wanted you to see this verse. I want to read this because I want you to see something. I want to show you the difference between chasing after something and having something chase after you. But godliness with contentment. Now, contentment means God's sufficiency is great gain. Say it with me. God's sufficiency is great gain. You can get increase in anything with God's sufficiency. Amen? For we brought nothing into the world. We can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. In other words, what he's saying is, don't put all of your equity into your things. Put it in your contentment or God's sufficiency. Because you can be broke and still have all the resources you need spiritually to come out of it. You can be in a terrible situation, but still have all the resources spiritually to come out of it. And notice the next verse. Those who want to get rich fall into temptations and a trap, into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. I want you to stop right there and look at that. He says, those who want to get rich. We started this whole message about receiving the things that you want, right? So why is he saying people that want to have increase are going to fall into temptation? Because of one reason. He's talking about people who are running after money. He's not talking about people who believe in their heart that God is their provider, that believe in their heart that whatever they put their hand to do prospers, believe in their heart that God has blessed them with the blessings of Abraham. He's not talking about that group of people. He's talking about people who are running after wealth and increase, and that's the final end of the thing. You're always going to run into trouble. You don't run after money. Money runs after you when you believe. It'll seek you out when you're broke. It'll seek you out when you don't have a, got a, well, I shouldn't say that. My dad used to give me some old-time expressions, praise God. But it'll seek you out if you change the mindset in your mind and get it into your spirit. Then the blessings will follow you after. Then what it says in Deuteronomy 28:4 says that the blessing will come upon you and overtake you. It'll run you down and bless you. And it isn't because you've been running after it. It's simply because of your faith inside is attracting to you whatever you had faith for in your life, and it's bringing you to that place. One of the great stories in the Bible of this was Peter. Peter and John, in the book of Acts, second chapter, were going up the temple to pray. And there was a man there that was lame from birth. And he was expected to receive money from him. And Peter said to him, "Silver and gold have I none." That didn't mean that Peter had no money. It just meant he didn't have any money on him. In those days, people didn't carry wallets. They didn't have credit cards. They would take money when they went to the, the market to buy things, but they generally wouldn't carry money around. So he's going there. He's going to the temple, and many people wanted the temple would take money with him. Didn't have any money. And he says, "Silver and gold have I none, but what I do have is this. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk." And he grabs him. The power of God heals him. Why? Because what he had was spiritual. And what you have spiritually is enough to get your physical need met. You got a physical need. What you got spiritually is enough to make it happen. I said, if you're saved, if you're born again, you got what it takes to get healed. You got what it takes to prosper. You got what it takes to restore. You got what it takes to remove mountains. You have it already inside of you. You just need to release it. But the bottom line, and this is, go ahead and stand up if you would. The bottom line of this whole teaching is this: you have to reach for it. Paul said that I'm forgetting the past and I'm reaching for the things that lie ahead. If you want to forget the past, start thinking about something but the past. As long as you're thinking about the past, you're going to create those negative emotions that become barriers to your success. Think about what is good, what is true, what is upright, what is of a good report. Focus in on that. He said that he was reaching for those things that lie ahead. You don't reach for something you can't grab, do you? My wife, she's a little short. And at my house, in our kitchen, we have these blinds. And she can't reach the blinds. So she never tries to. She says, "Could you shut the window, the blinds in the window?" That's just my job. She's too short. You only reach for things you can grab. I'm telling you that you can grab what I'm talking about today. You can receive it today. You can grab a better life. You can receive a better life. You can receive a blessing. You can receive it. You are not short spiritually. You are tall. You are like a Michael Jordan, tall.
Thanks for listening today. For more messages like this one, check out our podcast, River app, and our website at theriver.church. We're The River, and we're doing life together.